John, before we finish up, I must touch on Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane taking over the Irish international job. Of course, they're in many ways they're kind of the dream team. But your name and Roy Keane's name had been you got more publicity out of Roy Keane being appointed than Roy Keane got being appointed over your kind of your history together.
I think. Probably the more, like, I mean, look, I'll start from the start, and I'll make a big statement here today. When I met Martin O'Neill about managing Ireland, and I should have actually said it in my few words in my speech, we had a meeting in London, and he said he would go away and think about it, and I felt it was a very positive meeting. But I was actually in Ballyduff that bank holiday October weekend, presenting medals, when I got the phone call from Martin to say he would take the job, and he told me that Roy would come as an assistant as well. And it was actually in Ballyduff in County Kerry, that's where I was, when I found out that Martin would take the job and Roy was coming. And I think there's one thing, if there's learnings for anybody in life, and it's a big learning for anybody in life, and we all learn it every day we go, nobody's bigger than your country. No one is bigger than your country. No one. On that night, when I met Martin and Roy then, when Martin had agreed that he would take the job, but in 24 hours I was in London and I met Martin and Roy in a hotel, the Grosvenor in London. And the three of us agreed that we wanted to make Irish soccer great again. The three of us agreed that we wanted to work together to make Irish soccer great again. And you should never let anything in your way to make either your county or your country great. And if there were personal differences in the past, they're gone now and well gone, because our country is bigger than anybody.
John, I'd say that it was nice for you as a person, and you're a good-hearted, good-minded person, I know that from knowing you. It was nice for you to be able to put all that behind you, and now you're working with Roy Keane, and it's all in the past. Well, how important was that for you personally?
I wanted to set aside, actually, and even if Roy hadn't come as assistant manager, I wanted to set aside anyway with you. There was too much talk about Saipan, there was too much, attention from the media trying to always create a story, and I don't blame Roy too much about comments he made, because, you know, he was asked all the time and he would respond. He's that type of character. But for me personally, I was really pleased when we met that night in the hotel. I mean, bear in mind, nobody knew this was happening, only a small number of people. And it was when you look back in your life, it was a wonderful moment to set aside any differences that had been there in the past. And it set aside Saipan, it set aside personal issues between myself and Roy that were perceived, Roy's issues with the FAI, whatever it was, it set aside all those things. And now to have Martin and Roy, to be working with them, the energy both of them bring, the charisma they bring, the confidence they've brought to players in this country has driven us all on, you know, to kind of push Irish football forward. And I mean, when I look back at my life, I'm sure, Richie, one of the, and there's been many defining moments in my life today, but one of the defining moments would have been that night in a London hotel that nobody knew about, but when a lot of issues were sorted, and it only took 30 seconds. That's the most amazing thing. It wasn't 2 hours of chatting it through. Martin said to me and Roy, "Do you want to say something?" And I said, "Can I talk first?" And Roy said, "Yes." I said something along the lines of, things happened in the past that both of us would be unhappy about, that maybe we were both at fault about.
You kind of caught the whole country by surprise, I think, when we saw your name down as a sub last Saturday night, and then we heard just immediately after that you had retired. What was the reason? Why did you decide then?
I just had given it a go. I was intending to go last year. At the end of last year, we, she and myself and Eamon chatted about this year, and I said I'd give it a go, but it was just proved difficult, really, in terms of other commitments in my life. You know, I'm very busy with work and my website and these brands that I'm working with all the time, Wishy, and you know, you have to be fair to other people as well around you, and I just felt that the time was right to go, you know.
Did you find, Paul, it was saying the last couple of years with the way football has developing, that people would say it's becoming a younger person's game, and it's a lot of running and it's a lot of pre-game stuff and all of that. Did you find it becoming more difficult?
It is definitely more time consuming, Weesh. The game is the game. The game is probably getting a bit more, how would I say, faster probably, but other than that, it's just the time commitment is very big, and I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep going with it, you know.
Yeah. Paul, I always felt that you had a great communication and a great bond with the Kerry supporters, both coming from you and also coming from the supporters, especially when you'd appear on the field or if you were brought on as a sub or even for those times that you had been sent off. I always felt there was a tremendous bond between you and Kerry supporters.
I always just give my best, you know, and I think the supporters probably appreciated that, and I certainly appreciated their support. So that was just the reason I wanted to come on and say that. I think the people of Kerry have always been very, very good to me, and I just wanted to kind of put that on record and say it on radio. And you know, we had great old days out, like, and we had great innings, really, and. You know, I'm very grateful for the support of the people and for the times I had with Kerry, you know, winning and that kind of thing was great.
You had a great career, Paul, between hurling and football, and between your club and between Kerry. Will you be staying on with Fionnuaig?
I will, yeah. Staying away with Fionnuaig and Lixnaw, yeah.
What were the highlights of your career, would you say?
There was plenty, you know, there was a lot. I was only thinking about it today, actually, and I couldn't probably pick one, really. I think there was a good few. So, you know, obviously all the All-Irelands were highlights in their own rights, the real highlights are probably behind the scenes, you know, the times that you have with fellas there, and the fun you have with fellas are the real highlights for me.
Yeah. What did Kerry mean to you, Paul, playing with Kerry, putting on the green and gold? Describe your feelings to me.
Yeah, it was a great honour, like, and it was something that I was very proud of, and you know, I think you have to be able to give it everything and give it your all when you pull that jersey on, you know, and you know, I just felt that I wouldn't be able to anymore. So, you know, when you reach that conclusion, it's time to go, you know.
Paul, you always wore your hat on your sleeve, and you were always a man that expressed your opinions, especially out in the field, and there were times when you got the line and things like that. Looking back now at those incidents and things like that, did you feel at times, well, I felt, I must say, no, I don't know how, I felt at times that you were a marked man by some referees.
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, that's another day's work, really, Rishi, you know, and I wouldn't be getting too bogged down in that kind of stuff now anymore, you know.
.com. Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme, Joe O'Connor, the strength and conditioning coach with All-Ireland Hurling Champions Clare and many, many more teams, is my guest in studio this evening. And Joe, I'm smiling to myself, and I must tell the listeners, because you have your mobile phone on silent. And there's a little bit of a buzz coming out of it every now and then. And you tell our listeners what's happening here in the studio tonight. And what's happening? Clare are getting ready already for the All-Ireland next year. What's happening with that phone?
Well, I suppose we're not training until January anyway, Rishi. But yeah, I suppose that...
That's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, the lads will be texting in their weight sessions, and their, I suppose we look for a few different things in every session, and that all goes into one overall spreadsheet. We work out... They're training loads from that, and then we're at Dunshillet, they're training loads from a week to week and month to month basis from that. So,
but they have to report to you?
Yeah.
How often?
Daily.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's what it is, Weishi, is it's, I suppose it's 30 seconds a day that they have to report in, like, you know, that's what it takes.
Yeah, but still it is.
But when I have information on every player like that, I can personalise, there's no two players the same. You can't train two players in the one panel, I think, the same. So what we do is we make out a daily load and a weekly load and a monthly load for every player, and then we undulate that with matches coming up. You know, we've played a lot of students who will be playing Fitzgibbon Cup and that, and they might be playing, you know, club games, obviously still going on. And there's loads of different things that'll be going on. I suppose the key to fitness, a saying I often use is optimal performance is the optimal training with the optimal recovery, you know. And if we know what is optimal, we can't guess it, we have to know it.
Yeah.
And little things like that help us know it.
As a Manchester United follower myself since pre-Munich, I always felt that you'd have been the man who who might have managed Manchester United that they could have gone for you. Would you have liked to be the manager, and were you ever approached?
Well, I think that you're going back into your spots and maybes. I was thoroughly enjoying myself at Celtic time, that when there was even a possibility of Sir Alex Ferguson leaving the football club, when I think he had announced it way back years and years ago that he might be leave. Loads of names were bandied around. I was having the time of my life at Celtic, and Celtic are a really, really fantastic club. Those things have gone now. Alex has obviously retired. David Moyes had great result during the week, which helps immensely. They're still in the Champions League. It's been really tough. Tough season for them in every aspect, but obviously Ferguson has left a tough job for anyone to follow, certainly immediately, but I'm quite sure that David Moyes can come through.
Listen, thanks for talking to me, Martin. Now, so after the game yesterday, and I must admit, with all the interviews I've done over the years, I've never interviewed a referee directly after a game he's refereed before. It's a first for me anyway, and the one thing about the GA, you'll always do something for the first time, every time nearly, because there's always something new coming up. But John Sexton, you heard him coming on in Terrace Talk here a few weeks ago. He's one of the top referees in the 32 counties. Did a great job, I thought, yesterday anyway. Anyway, I met up with John yesterday and we had a chat directly after about the game.
Well, John, I suppose it'd be fair to say that the game went off without incident. From a referee's perspective, what was it like?
Oh, it's a great game. I mean, you can see the standard out there. I mean, conditions were heavy, but God Almighty, they played with passion.
Yeah, the sending off was kind of straightforward, really, John. Well, it was two yellow cards, and I don't think there was anyone quibbling about that.
I don't think so. But look, I mean, I didn't come down today to send a fella off. But, I mean, I was consistent. I mean, what went on just 2 or 3 minutes before, The sending off was exactly the same. And obviously, he didn't have a tackle. But look, I mean, it's a referee's position. You don't come down to send off a player like that. But look, it happened.
And generally, John, you're refereeing all over Ireland. You're one of the top referees in the 32 counties. Very sporting game. From your perspective, what would you say about that?
Absolutely. It is a credit, actually, to the supporters, really. You could hear the crowd there through the game. They enjoyed the game. I think the players, full of passion, they played the game. And that's the way it should be played.
Conditions very heavy out there?
They were heavy, but I mean, it was heavy for both sides. As I said, there was the wind obviously was a big factor, and I think there was probably the difference at the end. I mean, there was 4 points in it. You know, it favoured Hartford in the second half, and they made use of it.
Big honour, John, for a referee to be asked to come into an outside county and referee their county final. It means that you're taught well of it. It's nice to be recognised.
Yeah, I said a few weeks ago, a county final in any county, to either your own or to be asked in, is a privilege. Yeah. I was really looking forward to this because I did want to know it. And I think I mentioned to you before, I have two sons. I now have a second medal that I can actually divide in two, you know? So it's a privilege.
And come here, are you busy all the time? Are you going to continue on? Will we see you on the national front next year?
Look, it's a hard, but I have a couple of weeks now. I'm going to make up my mind seriously, because I've over 23 years of it done. But look, I've 4 guys here, brought them down with me. They're with me, hail, rain, sleet or snow. And it's not going to be me make the decision. They're going to be with me. And look, we'll see how it goes.
You had a man from Radio Kerry standing at the post there today.
He's going to be a good referee himself.
Did lovely stuff about my father over the year. Tributes have been flying all over the year, so it's been very nice for the family also to have all these lovely tributes coming in this past year. In a month's time, obviously, it'll be a month since his passing, so this book certainly means a lot to the family, and I'm very very thankful to everyone who came here tonight. He certainly missed around home, around the bar, and everyone's certainly missing him. He wasn't really much of a... He was as good as a best friend, really, as a father to me also. So he's been a big loss, but I'll always have fond memories. So I'm just very, very happy for the printing of this book, and very thankful for all the nice things that have been said.
Now, the one question I was meant to ask you: what did he tell you? What did he teach you about football? What were his vital points of information he passed on?
His vital points. For me, really, was just to enjoy my football. I suppose the only way you can play well really is to enjoy football as much as you can, not to feel the pressures it brings also, and just mostly just to enjoy your football as best you can, and that's how you can play well.
Listen, Patrick, lovely talking to you, and the best of luck in your own career. I know that he was very proud of you.
Thanks very much.
Eileen. So I caught up with Paddy O'Mahony during the week, and I think what we're going to talk about, he's the former Kerry goalkeeper, won 5 All-Irelands, went through 1975 without conceding any goal, one of the great Kerry goalkeepers, but his story is, listen, just sit back and listen to Paddy O'Mahony tell it himself.
Well, Paddy, I've been watching your introduction to Operation Transformation, and you've been brutally honest standing up before the nation and talking about your problems in relation to your drink, in relation to your marriage breakup, your business and your overeating and your obesity and much, much more. I would know you for a long, long time, would know your father and your mother before you, and I'm not a bit surprised at your honesty. How difficult was it, or was it a big conscious decision to stand up and just go before the nation and explain what has been a very difficult life for you?
It was a major issue in my mind before I decided I'd do this, you know, because I've been lingering in my mind for the last couple of years about how my life has gone in the recent past, and I think it was time to open up to society and stop shutting myself down as I was doing and show the world that I can come back and become fitter again, become part of society and become a better person in the community, because I really had closed myself off, and I was unhappy about the whole thing. But it was only when my daughter came home from Canada, like, really, that it all hit home, and she says to me, "You're after becoming a recluse here, and all I can see you doing is eating." And I wasn't drinking, of course, at that stage, like, you know, because I'd be cute enough that way. My drinking had become a kind of an issue where it only came up about 4 times a year. But knowing that Fiona was coming home, I was being cute that way. So what happened really was, she said to me, "Look, you can't go on like that." So I said, "Look, I'm willing to change. I'm ready to change. I'm at a stage in my life where things are after dramatically happening this year. So talk to me." And that's where it all began.
Well, now, after the game yesterday, I met up with the man of the match, and all the lads were raving about him there. Sylvester was raving about him, and Morris Leahy and all, and I met up with him, John Egan, and we had a chat, and of course you can hear the noise in the background, because it was right down at the pitch when the full-time whistle sounded. Well, now I'm talking to John Egan, man of the match in today's final. John, listen, first of all, congratulations. You have a young hurler here alongside you.
Oh, I do. His fella's a Stone Med hurler.
Finan?
Yeah, he's watching myself morning, noon and night.
Yeah.
He watches the All-Ireland hurling final before he goes to school every morning. He's very bad, but I'm delighted. It's a brilliant day.
How difficult were the conditions, John? There was a heavy wind, and the ground was very heavy. How difficult was it?
It wasn't too bad. I think we expected this morning to be a lot worse. Rain was a lot worse this morning, the wind. But when you got in here, it wasn't too bad. But the ground was very sticky, all right. It was hard to get down over the ball. But as we got into it, we seemed to get to terms with it a bit. The ball seemed to come up a bit easier and a bit quicker. But so it wasn't too bad, to be honest. We can't complain. Look, 'tis nearly November, and we knew it was going to be sticky. We were training there last week, so the ground was wet and sticky. So we kind of expected it, but it wasn't too bad.
You played very well with the wind in the second half. You controlled the ball well. You picked out your men. You weren't just driving it willy-nilly.
Yeah, we spoke that at half-time. We were getting rid of the ball a bit too quick, and we said that if we held on to it, get our heads up and burst the tackle and look for the free man, especially when we were up, we had an extra man for the second half, and that seemed to work for us. And then really, when we went ahead, it was very hard for him to claw it back, because we had the extra man. And I think we had a bit of extra fitness there as well towards the end as well.
John, I taught in the drawing game, and today also you finished very, very strong. Patrick Gill, your trainer, your manager, he seemed to have done a tremendous job, but he'd have a reputation for that.
Oh, he would, yeah. Look, there's no coincidence that we're in the final. The Pat's over us. He's absolutely super since he came home 10 years ago. The joy he's given us with sport, the way he's managed us with 2 All-Irelands and the hurling now again, which probably, if you said at the start of the year we were going to win the hurling, you would have been laughed out of it. But they're fantastic. Eamon and Brendan as well. And Frankie Flannery, in my view, is one of the best hurling coaches around. He's outstanding. We're lucky to get him. So that's the only way we can repay our management team today, is by winning the championship. And we're delighted to do that.